How big's everyone's balls, real quick? You're listening to the Jai and Woody Show, brought to you by Stag Sports Performance Wear, the official supplier of all Rugby AM kit. Right, welcome back to another episode of the Jai and Woody Show, minus the Wood. He's swanned off somewhere. I'm not really sure where. I'll have to check back and get back to you. But I'm joined by Matty Wildy. That's pronounced correctly?
Correct, mate.
How are you, mate? How are we going?
Yeah, good function.
And you've brought Adam Milner over here with you? Or has he bought you?
Nah, I brought him.
Yeah? Ads, how are we? Right, this is going to be a fucking right barrel of laughs.
You brought us, mate. You brought us.
Right, look, we've got a lot to talk about. There's a few talking points. Reserve grades back 2020. We'll see how that goes, and we'll get into a bit of that. So we'll talk about dual reg and loan and see how it all goes. Is it going to dilute the championship or... Yeah, we'll touch on it. Tony Adams has come out and said we've got to be careful with the relationship between gambling and booze. My opinion is we should need to be a little bit closer to that, but we'll see how we go. Matt Parcell possibly out for the season. Justice for Oggie Holmes. Since his ban, he's kicked off the show, he's come back and he's scored a meat try. A meat pie. How was it?
Yeah, we're good. Good to have him back. He's been on sidelines a long time.
Yep.
But yeah, the flying pig.
Yeah, well, it was long range, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we didn't get to see it, so tell us exactly how it went.
I think pretty much his first touch. Mm. Come off for a tired Jesse.
I'd imagine.
Yeah, pretty much his first touch. He made a, don't know whether he scored or made a break. Yeah, but good to have him back, and he's certainly stiffens that left edge up that we've got. And I think he'll feel in the game, 2 or 3 days after. Mm. Just hope he's recovered now.
Yeah, and it was a much needed win, wasn't it? I mean, sort of lose that and you're three or four points off the hot seat, win that, and now you're only a couple of points off the 5.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we went into the game saying it's a must win game. We saw you were there in sort of 16, I think, when Paoli did the...
Yeah, I was there when we 10 points clear. Stuff.
Do you know, were you there when we did the 10 game story?
Oh, yeah.
We sort of went back to that, sort of finishing the season as good as we can. And yeah, Paoli's brought in the 10 game story, so I think it started against London. Mm. Obviously, good win against them, and then bad defeat against Leeds, and then good win against Wakey. So yeah, for Cass, it's, you know, we've been inconsistent all year, but we're looking to finish the season strongly now.
Well, speaking of a bad loss against Leeds, but we had a good win against Leeds, didn't we, Matty, in championship over there? How are we going? How do you think Bradford's going this year?
Yeah, we started off all right in the season, and then had a bit of a dip. We've sort of brought that back these like past few games, but we had a bit of a slip up at the weekend.
Yeah.
It's not cost us, but it's putting more in our hands now than anyone else. So we need to play well and just finish this season off as best we can and see what happens come the fives at the end.
Yeah, it hasn't put us out, but it's put us under a little bit more pressure than we'd like to be. I think York drawing to Batley, was it, has sort of leveled it out a little bit. Well, we'll see how we go. And just for anyone that didn't know, that 10-game story that Ads was talking about, basically Paoli sort of sat us down a few years back, which he's obviously done the same thing now, and it's a game at a time. Really,
yeah, he sort of writes every game down and sort of puts his sort of perspective on where he'd like sort of cast to be and sort of game by game. Mm. And obviously, you know, now we're looking at the games, you know, St. Helens are in the Challenge Cup. We play Warrington this week, who are in the Challenge Cup. And we're all like, it builds it up and builds like a pretty much a story. So this week it's like, you know, Warrington in the Challenge Cup next week. You know, they'll have an eye on that. And it's just how we go about,
yeah,
you know, the games step by step, and it just paints a picture for all the players. It's you know, when you look this time of year and you say you've only got eight or seven games left, you think, you know, Jesus, there's not too long of a season to go. So
yeah, he used to do it in like a block of four, didn't he?
And I
sort of like that from a coaching perspective, being a player, where we sort of break it down into a block of four. We don't particularly do that at Bradford. JK's probably a bit of a different coach, but I did enjoy that he break it down and sort of said at the start of season, if you win three of the four of each block, you're sort of guaranteed that playoff spot, or you're guaranteed that in and around that grand final. But look, we've sort of, well, we're sitting sixth now, us, Matty, aren't we? Equal sixth, are we?
No, seventh, because we would have gone. We've gone back down to seventh on 25 points.
I'm pretty sure. And York this week, arguably the biggest game of the year. Yeah. What's your thoughts going into it?
They're playing pretty well, aren't they? Yeah.
They're just chalking off wins.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about them maybe dropping off towards this back end of the season, and people are still waiting for them to drop off.
Yeah, but they got the toughest run. They got the toughest run home by far.
Yeah.
They got us, Toulouse, Toronto, Lee, and Featherstone. And Halifax. Yeah, but Halifax are so far away, I can't even hear them anymore.
Yeah, they are, but they're a team that can beat.
Yeah.
They're a tough team to play out there, so.
On Swinton, mate, I mean, look, they're going to do some teams. They're a banana skin game.
Yeah.
I think we just didn't approach that first 15 minutes very well. They came out of the blocks firing. They got some early points. Can't let any team get 18 points on you and expect to try and win a game. But look, we put ourselves into contention, didn't we? And the game was for the taking.
Yeah, well.
You got tried to slap, didn't you, Jerry?
Yeah. He was out. If you didn't see me Twitter, the bloke's arm's clearly out. I want an explanation from the referees and the RFL. But there was a few of them, though. There was a few. Johnny Magrin put the ball down. Minnie put the ball down. He called me in touch at one stage. I went in touch. I was just scoring. And there was some ham. We brought back the biff.
A few handbags. You should have seen the... I've never, like, MMA, Jai.
You won't fight. I'll
run you through exactly.
No, he wasn't fighting. He wasn't fighting. He only put someone to sleep.
Disclaimer, I wasn't fighting. Webbo, I don't know how it started, but Webbo's just getting a bit of how you going with someone, and he's jumped on top of Webbo, and it was just a bit of, you know, jersey pushing, jersey grabbing, a few little cheeky elbows and stuff. And anyway, Maddie's come in, and I've seen... these two blokes just start dragging Matty away like they're just going to have their way with him. And I said, no, I'm having none of this. So I've just grabbed the young fella and just put him in. I put him in a straight choke hold. I had my heels locked in and everything. He's going back up in the air. He said to me after, he's like, man, I couldn't breathe. You were choking me. I said, yeah, I've been watching a lot of UFC lately anyway. But look, we'll move on to the main talking point, I guess. Reserve grade is back. Ads, how do you see it going? Is it going to be a success? Have you been hoping it's coming back? And what are your thoughts?
I'm glad it's back. I'm sure it will be not a success, but clubs and players are probably happy that it's back. I don't know why in the first place they got rid of it.
Yeah.
Certainly helped my development coming through as a young'un, coming through and playing reserve grade. The dual edge... just don't work for me, you know. I look at Cass now, and we've got about three or four players who are sat just doing out. They're turning up and training. I had sort of Jax O'Neill coming up to me every week and saying, "What's the point of me even being here? All I do is train. I've not got no goal."
And it's not like they want to go out.
And
clubs don't let them.
I mean, he played obviously last weekend against Waking. He played about 15 minutes. Said he were absolutely spent because he'd not had a game in 12 weeks. He had one game against for Halifax. It's good to have him back. Get it back next year. It's going to take some years to get up to speed with things. I think it's good to get it back. And you know, I read on Twitter today as well, just make sure that the games are they played before the Super League games.
Yeah, get a bit more of a crowd down. Yeah, get the people that aren't getting regular Super League time or haven't played Super League before a bit of a build-in experience to what it's like to play on a big stage. But yeah, Matty, what are your thoughts?
I think it's a positive, especially for me when I was a young'un. Coming through at Wakefield, it had just changed. Probably I played reserves for probably 2 years. And then it changed to the dual reg system. And if the club who were dual reg to that team aren't in need of players, then it's difficult for you to get game time. And especially when I was in my probably about 20, we was dual reg with Donny.
About 40 years.
Yeah.
The only man with an old face filter don't work on.
Yeah. We was dual reg with Donny, and at the time they had quite a lot of players and probably didn't need lads on dual reg. And I think there were 1 year I only played 6 or 7 games, and it's no good for anyone's development playing that over a year.
Yeah. It messes with your head as well.
Yeah, and then you're in and out of the first team. You might get one game here, there, one game there. It's no good at all, and you need to be playing regularly week in, week out. So if they use it right and like they did before, I think it's going to be a success. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been an advocate of bringing reserve grade back, but I don't want it to come back and teams in the championship still be able to pick and choose who they get on loan and dual reg. Like let's take Fev for example. I think they've used 22 loan and dual reg players. Bradford has used 3, and all 3 of them we've signed. So you know what I mean. And you'd be lying if you didn't say that Fev's success or most recent success isn't down to the 22 players they've used. I think if you take them out and they had to use only players at that club, they wouldn't be where they are. And that's not just Fev. That's a lot of teams. But I just think if you're gonna use reserve grade, it needs to be used as a reserve grade. Your players that just aren't making Super League, they need to play reserve grade. Your championship clubs have to step up, and if they need to sign other players, they need to sign other players. But if they're gonna just use it as to dilute the game, and there's just got a bunch of young fellas running around that don't really know what they're doing, they may as well just stick with the 19s. Do you know what I mean?
True. So just going back, all I know is what I've experienced. You know, at Cass, it were like if you were good enough 18, you'd be playing for reserves.
Yeah.
But then the reserves, you might get the one or two lads who were actually off the street.
Because they had reserves, and you could play a few older guys, couldn't you?
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
Well, there's no age limit.
There's no age limit.
Didn't they used to have...
They used to have an under... it were an under 20s.
And you're allowed to have...
And you could have 5 over age, yeah.
That's just mental.
But yeah, that's a totally different...
Yeah.
Different,
anyway,
But yeah, so obviously there's pros and cons, again, from my time and my experiences. I remember, I think London, we played London away. They must have been knocked out of the Challenge Cup. I must have been 18 playing against in the reserves, and London been knocked out of the Challenge Cup, and we ended up playing pretty much their first team.
Yeah.
Obviously, they had their week off. The reserves travelled down, Cass reserves travelled down, played London, and we ended up getting beat about 70-80-0.
Yeah.
It got to the point where we were conceding that many tries, they actually telling us, them to kick the ball to us so they could defend. Do you know what I mean? So it was that bad, but there need to be little areas where, you know, it's got to be used rightly, not for games like that.
I mean, if Saints have a full squad like they have at the start of the year with no injuries, and they've used whatever, I think, what did they use, like 18 or 19 players for the first 10 rounds? If they have that and they have a strong enough reserve grade team, and they play against, let's say, a team like Cass, and Cass has got 6 players on loan, and you're playing against a bunch of kids, there's no point in having a reserve grade, is there? Do you know what I mean?
If you're going to get
score lines of 60 and 70 nil each week, you've totally stuffed up and brought in a competition that's just meaningless. Because it can be a competition. In Australia, you have a legitimate thriving reserve grade that is just as passionate as the top grade. I mean, because it's the same guys playing it each week. You get a filter of a few NRL players dropping down and a few players going the other way, but it's a competition that you're playing your whole year. I mean, myself, Junior, Jesse, Grant Millington, you know, we all played in that comp for years, and it's an actual competition that means something. There's semis and there's a final and there's a trophy to be won. Do you know what I mean? But if they're going to send players on loan and it's just going to be a bunch of kids, you may as well just have a 19s.
Yeah, well, like it was before, it was run like a proper league, and they had I'm rightly saying they had a final at the end of each one in the 18s and the reserves, which which were good because you had so much to play for at the end. But like going back to what you're saying, it's got to be a level playing field because there's no good getting on back of a 80-0
game, is it? It's not fun.
It's no good for anyone, is it? So
well, this is another point. Like for us injuries, you're talking about Saints not having injuries. Us this year for first team, we've been down to those last 16, 17 players. So
yeah,
what happens? I don't know what happens then for reserve grade if we're, you know, we can't field the team.
Yeah, and what if you've got four players on loan that can't be recalled for 4 weeks? You get some injuries, you've got a reserve grade game, then you're stuck in a situation where you can't field a first team and you can't field a reserve grade team. I mean, so they need to come out a bit more clearer on what's happening with dual reg, what is happening with loan, whether it's they reduce the amount. I think it's seven now you're allowed. But look, teams aren't going to have enough players, especially with these Easter periods and all that sort of stuff.
It will take time. It's going to take time. But yeah. I think what majority of clubs will do is they'll probably just flood the 19s at the minute just into the reserves. So your top end 19s will just go straight to reserves.
Yeah.
And then, they'll just... What they should do is just read the young lads in and keep them.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment at Bradford, I know we obviously run a reserves, but we're currently not having any loan players or any dual reg players out, as JK said, just so we've got a full deck of cards, which is I think is the right thing to do. But look, time will tell. Let's see how we go. Right, that'll end part one. We'll be back with part two, baby. Calling all amateur clubs and community sports teams. Do you need help in simplifying the bid, writing and funding process? Sportsfunding.co.uk can help your club gain access to community awards of up to £10,000 and capital funding of up to £500,000. Whether you need funding to improve your facilities or to run your community project, Sports Funding can help. Want to find out more? Visit sportsfunding.co.uk. Right, we'll get straight into player profiles. Matthew, you're up first. 83 kilos. Jesus Christ, they've given you some there, haven't they?
just a couple, I think.
Right, mate. Well, take us back to where it began. Where did it... Are you a Wakey lad?
Yeah, from Wren Farm, a village near Stanley. So I played my amateur at Stanley. I only started... Funnily enough, I got into rugby when I got up into high school, really. I was just playing football from then on. Got up to high school, played a bit of rugby there. Got asked to go down to Stanley. Did my scholarship at Cass. And then at 15, signed at Wakefield and played 18s reserves.
First professional contract at Wakey?
Yeah.
Yeah,
18.
I'm just looking at this picture, and people aren't going to be able to relate to this. But it's did you have a left leg injury at some stage? Surely,
yeah.
Because Jesus, look at that.
Show me that.
We'll try and get a picture out for people listening at home because it looks like he's got a pirate's peg leg.
Yeah.
That was my first
year back from an ACL. So
yeah, well, I'll let it slide
as you can tell.
It looks like you've got a baby's leg on, but I'm sure that's not been edited. And Jesus. Anyway, first professional contract at Wakey, 2010. Make your debut.
Yeah, against Huddersfield away. Still remember it to the day.
What was it like when you get your call up? Run us through how you got your call up. Like, what happened? Was someone injured?
JK was the coach.
Was he?
Yeah.
So he stuck by you.
So. As you can, he's a bit of a, he's enthusiastic in JK.
Yeah, yeah.
So as you can imagine, he was buzzing for me, and I was pretty nervous at the time because I'd only been full time for probably back end of that year.
Mm.
So at the time, it was coming up with some players that have been about a bit. Got the call up and said I'd be playing at Huddersfield away. I'd be playing halfback, so. As you can imagine, young kid trying to
go on hooker the whole time, and then you've been moved into the half. Or
I was playing a bit of both.
Yeah.
But as you can imagine, trying to boss people around who have been about a bit, and it's quite nerve wracking.
Yeah, hard for you, but a bit easier.
The first kickoff, they kicked it to the right, and Earl Crabtree just seen me and just straight at me. I'm thinking, oh God, I can't be doing this all day.
At any stage, did you think I'm going to pull his hair?
do you know what? I think I might have done, actually.
I would have.
Because there was the only way I'd get him down.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. It
was skilled, Oggy, when for his debut. He did say he just filled away and absolutely skilled
did
him.
Did he?
Yeah. Oh, like a mountain. But yeah, we end up getting beat 50 something there. So.
Oh, so it was good debut.
Yeah. So
I got crashed in my debut as well. Right. So 2010, 2014, 30 games played for 3 tries.
Yeah, I didn't score many. I scored one against Cass in the Challenge Cup.
That did you? I take that.
But then we ended up getting beat in extra time. I can remember Kirk kicked it from sideline off.
No.
Oh, so.
Bastards. Anyway, between that, a bit of a journeyman.
Yeah.
2012, on loan to the mighty Batley Bulldogs up that hill.
That was under JK again.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a bit of a trend going on here, isn't it? 11 games there for 4 tries. A little bit more success over the try line. But how did you find that? I mean, I've played one game there, and we had Matt Diskin on the podcast the other week, and he said, I come there for three weeks and trained once and played once and then left because I just can't.
No, the first few games are obviously a bit of a shock. It's like running up the cannonball a little wakey. But once you get used to it, there's pros and cons for both. Obviously, you have to retreat downhill, but you have to retreat uphill when you're going up. So it's one of them, really. I got used to it. I didn't mind it. It was all right.
You played there?
Yeah.
Shocking.
Played Batley Challenge Cup a couple of years ago. Tough.
It's weird how like a team can be down by 20, but then come down and hit in the second half it's fair game. I think if you're up by around 20 points, you're still struggling if you've got to go uphill in the second half.
If you're losing by 12 going uphill,
yeah,
you're in with game easy.
Yeah, it's just,
you've got to score more than 12 to get a bit of a convincing win there.
It's weird that, isn't it? Right, 2014, a little move to Donny. Yeah, JK was, again?
No. No, not this time. Paul Cook were the coach there.
Oh,
then.
Yeah, Cookie came to Fev when I was at Fev. Yeah, he's a good bloke, Cookie,
So, yeah, played a few games there, enjoyed my time there, especially playing at that stadium. It's a good stadium, even though they don't get the crowds. But
yeah, it's not bad.
The stadium's good, enjoyed my time there.
Yeah, and then 2015, you moved to the Dewsbury Rams. Is that how you say it? Dewsbury?
Dewsbury.
Bury?
Just Dewsbury, there.
Real Sociedad.
Dewsbury.
Wycombe. You moved to the Wycombe Warriors after that. No. I'll never live that down. Dewsbury Rams. So you played a whole season there.
Yeah.
A durable season at that. 30 games.
Yeah, I think I missed one game, which was Challenge Cup against Warrington.
This is where I would have met you, because this is where I came over. So you've probably seen these dancing feet a few times, didn't you?
Yeah, I think you played your first game at fullback.
Carved up.
Now we put a bomb up and I think I smoked you. So.
Yeah, well, that's not the first time that's happened. I dropped one off the kickoff on the weekend as well, so I've relegated. But I'm not doing that no more. Jordan Lee can catch him. Yeah, Tommy Dick fingers. 2 snooker balls for eyes. So 2016, 2018, Featherston Rovers, where I spent a bit of time. How did you define that? I, by the looks of it, you stayed there a while, so you found it a little bit
better. I was there 3 years. My first year, really looking forward to the new challenge, and last pre-season friendly, I ruptured my ACL, so that ruled me out for the first year.
Yeah, that was pretty early on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next 2 years there were really enjoyable. They did the 4 split, so we managed to get in that 4, and that were good to play against teams like, I think they were Warrington, Leeds.
You just crept in that year, right?
Yeah. But it was... and then we missed out on the year after, just by a point or so. But no, it was really good. I really enjoyed my time there. Fans were good, and
fans are
the boys are
one of the most some of the most passionate fans I've seen at Fev. But if you don't play well,
they're on your back. Yeah,
crucifixion. anyway, that leads you to present, where you're at the Bradford Bulls. How are you finding your time at Bradford?
Yeah, good. Back in that full-time environment, which is what I wanted. lads are
under
good.
Your old mate JK again.
That's it, back yep. where it all began. But yeah, really enjoying the time. Just hopefully we can finish the season on a high and get in that top five.
Yeah, I think it's definitely doable, isn't it? I think just obviously the pressure's on. Biggest game of the year this year. I mean, this week against York. Beat York. Current producer over there is the media manager for York, so we'll give him a bit of stick after. Right, that moves us on to Ads Milner, who's also leg is not looking the best. I don't know what's going on here in these pictures.
Camera angle, innit?
I mean, your leg as well.
Both of them aren't looking too crash hot, but upper body's looking big, mate. Right, there's not much clubs to go off here, mate.
It's just straight
cast tiger. I think they need to get rid of you. 6'1", 186 centimetres, 91 kilos. A bit bigger than that now, aren't you?
Yeah,
surely.
A little bit, yeah.
What, we've got 95 at least, aren't we?
95, yeah, I've trimmed down a bit.
Trimmed down?
Yeah, a bit tubby.
We'll put some on. Muscle weighs more than fat, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right, 2010, Cass Tigers, 234 games. Jeez, you've got to be due a testimonial or something soon.
Next year, well, it'll be 10 years next year, obviously.
Rosie's not giving you that. No, Jen, you get a couple of hot dogs and a jersey and that's it.
No, it's in the pipeline. Whether it's next year or the year after.
There's a few of you, isn't there?
There will be a few,
Oggy,
yeah.
Massey Oggy, yeah. Got to be close.
Yeah, they're all, all came through sort of the same time. But yeah, one club man, and yeah, really enjoyed my time at Cass.
Do you want to stay? I know it's probably a bit of a cliche, but do you want to stay a one club man? Would you like to finish your career at Cass?
When I first originally signed back in, back in the academy, I wouldn't have thought I'd still be at Cass.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, to have been there, I will be there next 10 years. Next year, 10 years. And it's, I look back and it's something I'll always cherish and be fondly proud of. But yeah, who knows what the future holds. I've got another, 2 years.
You only signed last year.
So.
There was obviously a bit of speculation about you potentially going to the NRL. Run us through what, just before you signed with Cass, obviously, run us through what your thoughts were with that and what sort of decision it was to move. Were you definitely interested?
Yeah, 100%. The first conversation I had with my agent, obviously from the back of 2017, probably the best year of football that I played. And then the first conversation I had with Craig, my agent, was, how big your balls are?
Yeah. He said, how big are your balls?
If you've got big balls.
How big's everyone's balls, real quick?
he's pretty out there, he's Craig. Everyone probably knows.
Yeah, he's my manager now as well.
Yeah, yeah. And that's pretty much the first thing he said. He said, how big your balls are? And he went, if you've got big balls and you're willing to go for it, it'll be beneficial for you. So I thought, I've come off a good year, 17. I'll sort of go for it. And then, Craig kept on coming back and forth with, this club, that club. And it was 2018, Wellesley had just come to the club. He pretty much put his marker down. So I'd pretty much said no to Cass. I'd said, no, I want to. I'm backing myself.
Because it was that stage of your life, really, wasn't it, where you were like, look, if I'm going to go, it's got to be now.
Absolutely. And obviously, if the opportunity comes and if it were right for me, I'd have probably taken it. And then Wellesley came in, and within a week, he said, right, you've got, I'm going to put a deadline on your date. It's either now or never. That date actually passed. I still were backing my ability. That date passed, and then I got a phone call from Powell then the day after saying, look, offer still stands from Cass. And I look back to this date, Cass were great with me. They could have easily been, arsy with me and said, no, you can go elsewhere. But I think, testimony to Cass, but I think, me being such a loyal player to the club and, been there, 6-7 years, previous, think it's helped me. And then, yeah, it's sort of Craig we're coming back and forth with this club, that club, but I think ultimately when it came down to it, you know, nothing really materialised into big, or not big, but, you know, probably not as beneficial as it would be over here. Obviously, I've got my testimonial, which, you know, can be a big, you know, bonus for me. And yeah, the longer I thought about it, the more I was, you know, strongly pulling towards Cass. And yeah, now I'm happy that I've signed. I've, you know, my house is.
Looks like shit out the front at the minute, though.
I've got an house.
He's trying to get two cars so you can park them next to each other, and then another two in behind, so we can just have house parties.
House
parties, anyone been house parties recently? so now I look at myself, I'm settled, I'm really close with my family, got a new dog. Got a new dog who's my life at minute, big Clive.
What about your missus?
She's part of my family, mate. She's part of my family.
What's the go dog then, missus?
I'm just
cracking up about this house party thing, which I will tell the story because it was quite funny. We just come off the back of a loss at Cass. This is in 2017?
You told me this actually.
Was it 2017?
I was 17 or
it can't have been 17.
I think it were early. It might have been the first game after we got stuffed by Saints, didn't we? At 18, first game of the year.
Oh yeah. Because I was just thinking it couldn't have been 2017 because we were just dicking everyone.
Yeah, I think it were 18. So first game.
Yeah, first game. So, like, obviously when you have a loss like that, it's you have a bit of a pretty
day one crisis meeting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's crisis.
And it was
a circle of death.
Yeah, the circle of death.
Everyone around in a circle in your chairs. Everyone's in there. Powley, all the coaches, all our players. Wellesley's in there. And Wellesley must have been fed some wrong information because, he's come in all guns blazing. And he said, right, Ads, Greg, Eden, house party last night before the game. And Greg and Ads are like, what? We're just sitting at home on the couch. Not even at a house party. And he's just totally put his foot in it. He must have got fed some wrong information, but there was no house party. But geez, it was funny after that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, 2018, England, got the England call up, 3 games.
Yep.
How did you find it? What went through your mind? What did you say? Who was the first person you called and said, look, I'm putting on the, is it 3 lines? Is that what it is called?
Yeah.
Is that what you called over here?
I've got it.
You just won some cricket. You just won some cricket game. You just won some cricket game recently, didn't you? You just cheated the Black Caps out of a cricket game.
No.
How good was that cricket?
Nah, but it's just cheated him. Did you see it? Have you seen the controversy?
Yeah. Should have crossed, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they meant to cross, and then they hit the bat. That's just you couldn't make it up, could you? Did you watch it? No.
Yeah. Of course you did.
No,
you're good.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'm jumping around in my living room, mate.
How'd you go? Did you bit of tears and stuff? Any tears?
I can't actually remember where I was.
You and your dog?
Probably.
Didn't he wake you up when you were asleep?
Didn't he wake you up?
Yeah,
when you were
true. Yeah, yeah. My phone. I were having a nap actually. I don't know.
Oh yeah, just luxury, eh?
Yeah.
Mid afternoon.
Yeah, and you know, unknown number rang me. Ended up being JP. Said, look, you've made it into England squad, and you know, it's just one of the proudest moments of your life. Just you know, to get that phone call, and you know what came off the back of it, three caps, which you know. One of the proudest moments of my life and something you can never take away from me. Didn't get them. Obviously, France played, pretty well against France coming off the bench. But the two test games against the Kiwis, yeah, probably didn't get the games, but the minutes in the games that I wanted to and that I never liked. But absolutely surreal experience and... You know, one that I said that can never get taken away from me. Just absolutely loved it. The camp were brilliant. I know a lot of people have bad things to say about Wayne Bennett as how he comes over in the press and stuff like
Aussie
that.
Aussie being in the England coach and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. But I can tell you, everyone amongst that England squad absolutely love him.
Yeah.
As a coach, as a bloke, they absolutely, he just knows how to do it, and you can't. That's probably the reason why he's been so successful. In his rugby career, because
there's no doubt in his record, is there?
I think his major success is how good he is with the lads. He just knows how they work and how they tick. So yeah, just the camp absolutely loved it. Got close to a lot of good lads over there, and I've heard from Gailey in the past, who's been under different coaches in the England setup, and he said when he were in the setup, it was ticks and clicks all about, like, Saints lads would stay there, Cass lads, there, but everyone's just won, and that's probably why England is getting to where they are and so successful last year.
He likes the boys having a beer and stuff as well.
Yeah, he does. I mean, I think that's one of the first things we did. We had a training session, and then we went out, had a drink, and it's the best way, group of lads can go out and have a few beers and mingle together. Absolutely loved my time. Just a bit disappointed, obviously, that recently I've just not got that call.
Probably not down to your actual talent, more to do with how Cass are actually going as a team, and they're sort of just fluctuating up and down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true, but my form's not been nowhere near I'd like it to be this year. So before I start looking elsewhere, I've got to look at myself. But loved it, and I'll be doing everything that I can to get back into that squad. And I couldn't sing my praises any highly of the England setup and what it's about and what I've got from it.
Yeah, beautiful, pretty honest assessment. I mean, but not being in the team means we get to get over to Benidorm for Massey Stag do. Okay.
Yeah, well, I've got quite a few.
Gets to come to my
things,
wedding as well.
Things
he's
going
got
on,
Wildy's
on,
wedding.
Yeah, so I've got Wildy's wedding in Santorini.
Ooh.
Going back to me amateur days, I actually played with Matty. That's how me and Matty know each other.
So you're pretty tight, I guess.
So, yeah.
On weekends.
And Matty was one of them kids, who looks like
a virgin.
No. he were a 40-20 kid,
Yeah,
when he first came. And I remember him playing, and we were like, "Where's this kid come from?" Because he were a footballer.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, he was playing football. Renfort Rangers, mate.
Top net, top corner. What do they call it? Top bin.
I think one season scored 37 goals in a season.
Yeah,
pretty good.
In your backyard by yourself.
Yeah,
and yeah, I used to play. I used to play age above. So this kid came, Matty, and he was like, 40-20. He was like one of them kids. You just give it ball, and he'd just go run around team, and you'd be like, fuck, just can't do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Teams just couldn't.
Reminds
exactly.
Me of myself.
And then I never grew.
Yeah, so
and I just stayed like this.
And then you're Benjamin Button.
That's it, mate.
Oh, anyway, so wedding in Santorini.
Yeah.
The whole do's in Santorini.
So we go. So I fly out on the Wednesday, get married on the Saturday, and then fly back on the Wednesday, but.
Dude,
yeah.
You must be paying you well the bulls. I'm not getting that wages.
It's took some saving, man. What about that?
Well, mate, so you got a pretty packed out
So yeah, Matty's wedding, that'll be, I'll be able to go to now. So we'll get back on the 21st of October, and then we're Benidorm in it, aren't
so
we?
You confirm it. This is going out as a podcast now. So you've confirmed.
Unless it all changes from
you've locked yourself
in. Changes in the the England and GB this year.
Yeah, well, hopefully for your career, you get that GB thing, because I can't imagine Benidorm's going to be too good for it.
Nah.
But I'm looking forward to it because Australia hasn't come knocking yet. So there we go. Anyway, look, we'll end part two there, and we'll be back with a fair bit of shit talk after this. Stag Sports Performance Wear are the official supplier of all Rugby AM kit. From T-shirts to team wear, their kit is made to last with your own unique design. You can grab some of our exclusive Rugby AM gear by heading to rugbyam.co.uk/shop. Or, why not allow them to create your team's on and off field wear? One-off charity match shirts are specialty. Just email info@stag-sports.com for your bespoke quote today. Right, welcome back to part three, the last part of the greatest podcast in the world, on the planet. Right, we'll get into Tony Adams chatting about gambling and the alcohol sponsorship in sport. Now, I can only speak from growing up, but when I grew up, there was a Winfield Cup. It was sponsored by cigarettes. Tui's used to sponsor the Origin teams, VB. Victoria Bitter. A hard-earned thirst needs a big cold beer.
Disgusting
and the best
that.
Cold
beer. You got it? That stuff, yeah.
Mate, you got Nuki Brown over here. That is absolute shit in a bottle.
Yeah, I ain't had that before.
It's bad. Anyway, what's your thoughts on... Look, if it's going to grow the game, it's going to grow the game, but there's obviously the side of where players can be more intrigued or sort of lured into gambling and alcohol. But I think if it's going to be, my opinion of it is, if you're going to get a big sponsor on board like Carlsberg or something like that, or William Hill, that's massive money for the game, isn't it? I mean, that's what we're all about, cash, right? That's what's going to pull us out of this hole.
Money talks, absolutely.
Yeah.
I couldn't really care less. Obviously if it's sort of right and
As long as you're not being in. Look, we all like a beer. We all like a beer and a bet every now and then.
Yeah.
If you're abusing it, then obviously you're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't have too much problem with it, to be fair.
Yeah.
I think all rugby players know you get your talks about gambling and the restrictions on that. So, players have just got to be smart.
Yeah. Matty?
No, I don't have a problem with it.
No. You're all right running out to a bloody packed Odsall Stadium with a huge Carlsberg sign in the middle for the Challenge Cup when we smash Cass next year?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think, you look at football teams, a lot of them are sponsored by betting companies.
Yeah.
I don't see the big deal about it. It's just, I'm pretty sure that teams used to be sponsored by beer.
Yeah, for me, it's always been rugby league has always been known for a bit of a drinking culture. I don't condone anyone abusing alcohol. I don't condone anyone abusing gambling. If you got a problem, you should go see someone about it. But there has been a bit of a drinking culture in rugby league since I can remember. I don't know what it's been like over here, is it?
Yeah, it's all good.
Monday Club?
Yeah, Monday
Club. No, do you know
it's
what I mean?
It's obviously filtering down, I think.
Yeah.
To when I first started, the Warren Monday Club, you'd play on the weekend, go out Monday early on in week, and then you'd come round for the next game.
Yeah.
Now it's, you're lucky to have a beer once a month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's at the right times when you got the right times off. But look, if it's going to bring in massive endorsements, massive money for the game, I'm all for it.
What's his reasons? It must be sort of match fixing. Is he tampering into that?
He's basically just touching on it's going to be bad for the game in the respects that the percentages of gambling will go up within the sport. It's going to entice you to drink more. It's going to entice it.
Well, you're
you
going
to influence a younger generation. Well, yeah, if you're a club, you want the bars all around the ground and everyone to go to the bars.
Yeah,
right?
As a professional athlete, you can't abuse,
I don't think it's just professional athlete.
Yeah, well,
I mean, like people viewing it. If you're a young fella, let's take us back 10 years and you're a young kipper, you're running around kicking 40-20s, as ads would say, but I don't believe that. But, look, you're watching the footy, you're watching your favourite team, and, you see beer ads, you see Carlsberg ads, you see William Hill, You see whoever your idol is, wherever that was growing up. I'll have a guess at your idol. I'm going to say Paul Deakin.
No,
piss off. you see a William Hill on the back of his shirt, does it entice you to go down to the bookies? Probably not, but
No. Bets just make that, make sport in general just that little bit more exciting.
Yeah.
Like whether it's horse racing, big punter at your jai.
Yeah, well, I like a bit of a bet.
Whatever sport, you could have it on cricket. Or you could have him on whatever.
Yeah. When I go watch Leeds United,
exactly,
I go watch for Pablo to score two or more goals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it makes it funner. But look, if you've got a problem with it, then that's a totally different story, and I don't think it's anything.
No.
I know where he's getting at, and I know that it could be more enticing for people to touch on that. But look, if it's going to bring massive money into the game, which it would if a big alcoholic brand jumped on board, or not alcoholic brand, a big alcohol company jumped on board, or a William Hill or a Betfred. Obviously, Betfred already sponsors the Super League, so I don't even know what's the big deal. It's a bit of a weird one for me. Anyway, Rangi Chase, he's ditched the podcast.
That's why
God knows why. Yeah, I spoke to him for 10 minutes last night, and he was like, yeah, lock me in. So I posted the picture, come up with a little witty one-liner. And then he messages me this morning and says, oh, brother, I've got training. he must have forgot his schedule. Anyway, yeah, he's made his return. Has the game missed Rangi Chase, and has Rangi Chase missed the game? I guess we won't know because he's not on the podcast. But yeah, I think the game has missed Rangi Chase. I hope he obviously has been quite in the limelight, been well documented what's happened. But it's good to see him back in the game.
Yeah, and for one who's, especially when he's on the opposite team, he's a real handful, and you don't know what to expect from him. But you'll only see from his highlights that got put out on social media the other day that,
mate,
he's unbelievable. He can do some freaky stuff, yeah.
I mean, some of that, yeah, he did. He did. That's what I said last night. He did. He fooled the whole defensive edge and the BBC camera.
I remember they played, I think he played Catalan away. And that where he did that drop off and he just caught it again. And Damien Blanchard just like this. Like,
it takes some balls to continue up the sideline because most people would just get pushed straight out.
Yeah.
Even the most recent one where he went across field at Cass and he went 1-2 and then he ended up dropping monitors and defenders just had no idea what was
big
going on.
Bass.
big bazza. Big padded ass. we need to get monitors back over here and at least get him on the show. Right, what else is in the news? How good's Love Island? It's edge of your seat television, isn't
it? Yeah.
Have you seen a better show?
It's that rubbish and it's so addictive.
I can't believe they're all only 19, but they're just so... They seem so mature. At 19, I was a right little dickhead.
Yeah.
I still am, actually.
I was as well.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? They just seem like... Tommy is a sappy. He is sappy as, isn't he? He is
sappy.
Yeah,
some of his sick, isn't it?
Oh, shit. What was that? He reminds me of ads with his missus. I just love you. With me and you together, it's just two peas in a pod.
About some of the sayings? Some of the words he comes out with.
Mate, he didn't know how to make a cup of tea.
He
didn't know how to make a cup of tea. It's a tea bag in hot water. That's it. He didn't know how to do it. Because the first time he did it, he had to ask. And then the second time, he put milk in it. He put milk in a green tea. Who's going to win?
I think them two are going to win out there.
Well, yeah?
Yeah.
What about Ovi?
I've not mentioned this to anyone.
LeBron James.
I've had a sneak private.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, do you know what? Right. Well, I looked at it before and Tommy to win was 8-1 and I checked it the other night and I was kicking myself. He's below evens.
So... I've gone for Ovi.
Have you?
Yeah, for Ovi and that new bird who's gone in.
To win it?
Yeah.
There's only 10 days left.
But I've got a feeling them two.
He's better come up with some slam dunks because.
He's the best male in there, isn't he?
Well, message.
And I was watching, Jimmy Bullard. I was watching his Instagram and he says he's going to win it if he finds a bird that gets in it. That suits him down. People will vote for him.
It comes down to the votes, doesn't it?
Yeah, people will vote for him because he's, everyone loves him.
Yeah. But I feel like his time may be limited. I thought maybe Ovi and Amber.
No.
I think they're second favourites out there.
Well, yeah, but they haven't even.
No, I think she friend zoned him a while back, didn't she?
Did she?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then.
Like a brother
but
or
that's
something.
Like, but
said.
That's like Lucy friend zoned. Tommy
if,
and
if
then
Amber was smart, if Amber was smart, she should have gone with Ovi and hooked that Michael off.
Yeah.
And, if she was thinking more about money, which I think a lot of them in there are.
Are they?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. That Michael's
not
where.
I don't know
where.
Why they're thinking about money.
They must get paid, right, for staying in the whole time.
Yeah, but it's not much. But I'll tell you, I did read an article.
It must be enough for him not to leave. If he liked her as much as he said,
he'd
have
left. I've found what I wanted, but I'm just going to be on TV for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But what about, I did read an article that said you're guaranteed a minimum of £100,000 in promotional value as soon as you step out of the villa. So for the people that have been in there long enough, like let's say Tommy, for example, I had a little flick through his Instagram, getting about 250 likes on a picture, right? This is 2-3 months ago. Now, 1.2 million. I mean, so just for example, Alex Bowen, who was on the last one. Oh, was he on the last one? Was he on the last one.
He's still with it. Still with that,
obviously, I've got a clothing brand, Etiquette, you know. Me and Matty Wildy repping it. Ads hasn't. He's waiting for the big discount code.
Taylor.
Mate, he's had that same shirt for 5 years. He got it off Roger Federer. I messaged him and asked, you know, how much do you charge for a photo shoot and stuff like that? £1,500 per post. Not the shoot. Just if I sent him a shirt and he posted it, one post, £1,500. So you can imagine how many he's pumping out. He's pumping out two or three of them a day. Like, you're looking at well over $1 million a year just to be in there. So, look, if I was Michael, I'd be staying in there as long as I could.
Yeah, true.
Know what I mean? Anything else you'd want to discuss, boys? Who's going to finish in the top five?
Yeah. Well, obviously, Saints. Saints probably going to win it. The league, obviously.
The league. Disclaimer, we don't want to get anyone sacked. Oggy. There you go, mate.
Probably, obviously, Warrington.
Yeah, Saints have got the league signed up, haven't they?
But then, this is where, obviously, going back to Pauly's story, this is where it gets interesting, because the Challenge Cup, no matter what anyone says about it, it's going to take its toll on teams not having that break, not having that them weekends off.
And so, especially who wins it, little cup hangover.
Yeah, exactly that. So you look at the four teams, three teams, Hull in third, I think, at the minute.
They're the dark horses.
Hull. I reckon Hull will get to the final. I think they'll beat Warrington.
Yeah.
And then you've got Saints. They'll get to the final. So you've got two teams playing in a final. And I think we play Hull maybe after the... If they get to the final, we play Hull after that. It's going to take its toll on them three teams in the top four. The three best teams in the league. So then if we make it into the five and, you know, hopefully get... We're looking at probably third place... and like Pauly's built this 10-game story, if we've built momentum going into that playoffs as well, I think, you know, you'd be chancing your bets for, you know, Cass to do something this year.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, once you're in there, it's just a matter of chalking off a few games.
But yeah, the league's been that, the teams below second have been that inconsistent. It's about which teams below the two are going to pull. Going to get the momentum, and I think they'll be the biggest threat.
It's a weird one because I haven't really been focused on the top of the Super League. I've been more focused on the bottom of the Super League, because it's you know, you've got such massive teams like Leeds and Al Kayyad that are sitting down there. I do think London are going to end up struggling, but just because they've got no depth, they don't have the budget that Leeds can got. That Leeds have. Leeds are buying players left, right, and centre that aren't just your willy nilly backyard players. You're talking about NRL stars that they're purchasing, that may get them out of trouble. But I'm eager just watching the middle of the middle to bottom of the table. Maybe it's because Saints are so far clear. I don't know. They're sort of just dead rubber games. I know they were complaining about why they're not on TV the next week. It's because I'm more interested about what's happening at the bottom. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, that brings us to the championship, where the top of the table is heating up. York are going down. No, they're not really, but maybe this week they are. Look, 6 points covers it, I think. 6 points between us and second. Obviously Toronto after this week, which is another interesting thing, which is sort of the point that you brought up, Ads. Toronto may get to the stage where they've sewn up first that they rest players, because you would obviously remember this when they rested players against Fev and you just went over there and beat them. That could majorly shake up the top five with what's going on, because if we can beat Toronto, if we can beat York first,
why would Toronto rest players or what?
Well, just
if they win this week, they've already won the league. Then
so do they go up?
No, they don't go up. But they're
guaranteed to finish first anyway. Yeah. So
basically, to go up from the championship, you have to beat Toronto, because if they finish first, they verse whatever it is, third or fourth, right? Mm. If they lose that, they verse the winner of the elimination final.
Right.
So it doesn't matter regardless.
So they've got like they could lose two buys.
Yeah, they could lose and win, and they've got the week off as well. So everything goes in their favour. It doesn't matter where you finish, second, third, fourth, or fifth.
Is it similar to Super League?
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a promotion in there. You must beat Toronto. But last year they rested players for when Fev came over, and Fev went over and beat him. Now everyone is sort of chalking that game off as a loss, aren't they? I mean, teams are saying, look, all right, we've got to win these because Toronto's going to be a threat.
I do think they are a different team though this year. I think Brian McDermott's really stiffened them up, and they're quite a resilient team now. But not only that, they have got players. They've got strength and depth there.
Yeah,
they've not got the biggest squad, but
the players who come in lost by two on the weekend.
Yeah, which
over there as well.
They had a couple of players out as well, so it'd have been interesting to see if they had a full strength side.
Yeah, rest Dane Chisholm was a pretty key part of their last six games.
Rested as well.
Kingy was rested as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, that's arguably a close one. I mean, they've got to come to Oddsall still. I think it could be at a stage where they may rest players. But regardless, I think we'll give them a good run for their money anyway.
Yeah, I do. It's definitely going to be tight up in that top five. All comes down to these next few games, but who's got the best running and who can keep consistency up and get the wins.
Who finishes in the top five?
For me, it will be Toronto, Toulouse, Fev, Lee, Bradford.
That's exactly what I said at the start of the year. So, York, sorry guys, it's not your year. Boys, thanks for joining us. Absolute pleasure. Good luck for the rest of the year. Ads, hope Cass make a late sweep. Get up there into that Old Trafford and go one better than we did that year when I had Tommy Dick fingers out jump me. Matty, I'll see you at training tomorrow. Cheers, thank you.
Yeah, cheers.
This is a Rugby AM production.